Good morning. Welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. Today is Wednesday. It is September 9th, 2009. It's 9:30 in the morning, and the City Council will come to order. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Can you please read the title for Council Communications? Item. Oh, before we do that, we have a very special introduction. And recognition, Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I'd like to bring up Captain Dave Benson to introduce one of the Portland Police Bureau's newest recruits, one of our drug dogs, Griffin, and his more senior member, Nico, and their officers, too.
Yeah, good morning, Officer Alex Fives and his partner, Griffin, here. Griffin's our newest police dog. We've had him, I think, now 2 months. These are drug detection dogs. And then Officer Scott Groshong and Nico is another drug detection dog.
The Oregonian reporter is right there.
Let it be known.
They're working the crowd here a little bit.
Not there, man.
But they literally perform hundreds of searches a year.
Oh, what a cute.
They're not like your traditional police dog. They're not aggressive. They're not trained to be aggressive. They're just trained for scents.
Oh. And they're German Shepherds?
Nico came to us from?
He's from Czechoslovakia. Nico's from?
From Holland. Holland. Came through Texas.
Okay.
He's a Malinois. And you can all ask the handlers anything you'd like or you're interested.
You can. What was that last part?
You can ask the handlers anything you'd like about these dogs. But they do a lot of great service for the citizens and really make our job a lot easier on investigations.
And they work for throughout the metropolitan area.
Work throughout the metropolitan area, just not limited to Portland.
How many canines do we have on the force?
We have these two drug dogs, which work out of our drug supplies division. We have 11 patrol dogs, two of which are sergeants, and we have 3 bomb dogs assigned to triumph.
Okay.
Now, this is pretty stressful work, so what do these dogs do for R&R?
They don't look at it as work. It's something they're driven to do, and they enjoy it. They actually don't like the downtime. Mm. So they don't make very good pets. They're motivated to work at all times, which is why they just wander around looking for something to do.
And they live for those jutes in the back pocket of the officers there. Those little toys are what they live for. That's the reward. Well, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your
Welcome,
service.
Griffin. Thanks, Nico.
Appreciate it. Bye, puppies. All right. Now, Carla, if you would, please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1261.
Request of Mindy Stone to address Council regarding TriMet and democracy.
Ms. Stone, welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Please have a seat. Our protocols are 3 minutes, and that clock in front of you will help you keep time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm here today because I'm very disturbed by the recent actions of the TriMet Board, which met to vote, basically to confirm a vote, to cut the buses out of the Fairless Square, as well as cut back more routes for citizens of the area here. I think it's 3 areas, 3 counties that they serve. My biggest concern is that the board is appointed members by the governor. The governor does not live in Portland or Portland proper or the surrounding counties and doesn't use the mass transit service. And TriMet keeps talking about losing money, and yet they expand the rail service, which they're doing right now, and planning for building more. And the rail service is wonderful, but it does serve people who have automobiles or who live in downtown or the surrounding areas where the trains operate. People who rely on buses are poor. They usually do not have a car. They can't afford one. And with this economic crisis that we're in, rely on using mass transit. So I don't understand why someone who is not even part of our community here is making decisions from the capital of the state on who should be making decisions on such important issues as expanding or depleting transit services, public transit services. And I have done a little research to find that there are cities around, big cities around the country, that operate differently in how they have board members set up. And so far, the city of San Francisco has the best. Board of directors are elected members of the supervisors. And so those people are elected by the citizens of the area. So I would like to ask that the board, that the city council members maybe meet with citizens who are concerned about how the current boards are chosen by the governor and change it to be a local issue, even within three counties, an elected board, so that they can be held accountable for their decisions. And so that's, I'm asking you to consider that.
Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carla, can you please read the title for council communications number 1262?
Request of Zachary Dobbles to address council regarding TriMet and democracy.
Mr. Dobbles?
He's not able to make it.
Sorry. Okay. Can you please read the title for council communications item number 1263?
Request of Aaron Michaels to address council regarding TriMet and democracy. She is also not able to come.
Okay, can you please read the title for council communications item number 1264?
Request of Jason Barber to address council regarding TriMet and democracy.
Good morning, Mr. Barber. Welcome back to the city council. Glad you're here.
Thank you, and good morning. For the record, my name is Jason Barber. I am a member of the Transit Riders Union, and as several of my colleagues who are also members of that are also in attendance today and talking to you about TriMet and some of the issues surrounding it as it exists today, as we are only a few days away from the opening of the MAX Green Line. Something I've been getting very interested in is there's another man who is not actually a member of the Transit Riders Union. His name's Jason McCuff, who has started a website called Rose City Transit. And he's actually gone through a lot of the historical records regarding TriMet, and going all the way back to when it was founded back in 1969. And from what I can tell, the city of Portland back then condemned Rose City Transit and conveyed it over to TriMet because the city really felt that Portland should have a system that, you know, that works better for people who live here and the surrounding area, and so it can be more democratic and whatnot, and they might have even been thinking light rail back then. But now what it really seems like is TriMet is now this really big organization. Yeah, it's really great that on many routes they have service that runs all the way from 5 o'clock in the morning until like 2 o'clock at night or 2 o'clock the next morning. And that's really great if you live along some of those routes and you're able to use the service. It gets you to where you need to go. However, for example, on some of the other routes, there's another rider of TriMet Line 74, which is a rush hour route that runs between Lloyd District and the Woodstock neighborhood that's being canceled after this Friday, who submitted an idea to TriMet. They didn't really respond to her at all from what I could find out. Or for example, there are other ideas that writers suggested, you know, in their budget shortfall. However, they weren't really addressed at all with TriMet's service cut proposal. Additionally, TriMet, as I've noticed, really selectively works with colleges and universities in the area. For example, Portland Community College can't seem to get enough TriMet pass discounts for its students, while PSU yet so many of them that they're actually giving them back to TriMet. And also I found out that no Portland State University students were officially asked by TriMet about ending Fairless Square for bus service. As I understand, research from the Transit Riders Union suggests that one administrator at Portland State was simply asked, what do you think about this policy? Oh, okay, and that was all of the PSU input that was provided. Additionally, yeah, light rail is really great if you're going between downtown and where you live, but if it doesn't go to the grocery store, if it doesn't go to your job, it doesn't really work out that well. And I understand that my time is up, so I thank you today.
Thank you, Mr. Barber, for your testimony. Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1265?
Request of Lou Church to address council regarding TriMet and democracy.
I'm Lou. I'm a coordinator of PSU Progressive Student Union and treasurer of Transit Rider Union. Transit Riders Union is a new organization that started this year, 2009, in Portland. There have been some other incarnations in the past. I also wanted to make sure and start at the beginning with these three-minute time slots to say that we appreciate Amanda Fritz talking on TriMet issues. When I tried to come and talk to you about that, I thought that was helpful, and also doing some follow-up on the proposed and so far approved cuts to Fairless Square with Fred Hansen. I think I got an email from you that you had checked with Fred about that. I also want to think, I'm not sure how to pronounce Catherine's last name in the mayor's office, Catherine Carley.
Charlotte.
Okay. She talked to a couple of us about TriMet and transit riders as well. So on this particular issue, Progressive Student Union works on several, six or seven different projects. On this issue, we feel like City Council has been helpful in terms of ideas and input and brainstorming on how to do organizing. With 2 minutes, the things I should try to mention, transit riders unions are a new phenomenon in the U.S. There's about 10 big cities, including Los Angeles, that now have bus rider unions. The basic idea is it's an area of social power, primarily from the left, not John Charles and Cascade Policy Institute, but from the left to try to make transit equity, social sustainability, not just ecology, but how fair the transit system is to workers and poor people, an issue that should be of high importance, and I think it is high importance by most government agencies in Oregon because of the unemployment rate, our state being in the top five in the current recession. In Los Angeles, I should probably mention, some of you may or may not be familiar with the Bus Riders Union there. They were able to get an injunction for 5 years through the courts against construction of light rail. So there was a ban against light rail construction for 5 years. The LA Municipal Transit Authority was required to buy 500 buses because that served communities of color and poor communities, which light rail construction in LA wasn't. Portland, of course, has far better reputation in terms of transit. What else do I want to mention? Jason mentioned the Portland State process. The board, the TriMet board voted 6-1 to cut back on Fairless Square at its last board meeting after I presented to George Pasadori, who's the board president, 1,400 signatures on petitions. We tried to follow Amanda's suggestion, and I think Edward Kennedy used to talk about perseverance in organizing, and yet the board at TriMet, because we think they're appointed rather than elected, ignored that. So we're looking to find partners, perhaps Metro, perhaps City Council, and others that will help make TriMet more accountable, but also more progressive. And we're not talking strictly in terms of democracy, although obviously we think that's important. We also think the public interest is helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate your testimony.
So I just point out to the testifiers that it's good to come here and get us involved, but the TriMet is created by state statute. So it's real important to connect with your local legislators. The City of Eugene actually has an elected board. Lane County Transit is an elected board because the legislature allowed that. So you could have us help you, but that's all we can do is lobby as well. So I would contact your legislator and say you would like them to introduce legislation along the lines you testified to.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate your time today. We have a time certain at 9:30, but before we do that, are there any items to be pulled from the consent agenda? I would like to pull 1270.
1277.
Pull 1277. Any others? Anyone wish to testify on the consent agenda? Carla, would you please call the roll on the remaining items on the consent agenda?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Mayor Adams?
Consent agenda is approved. Yes, sir.
I'd ask that we go to pulled item 1277 right away. We have a guest here from the Tualatin Valley recreation area that I don't want to have to punish all morning long with the torture of sitting through our whole agenda before we get back.
All right. If there are no objections, Carla, can you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 1277.
Approve proposed formation of special district, the Tiger Tualatin Aquatic District.
Commissioner Leonard.
Is Cheryl Coupe here? Cheryl, come forward. I am not going to begin to try to explain what it is that we're doing here today. I'm doing it basically at your request and our friends in Tiger. Here's as though you need some help from the City Council, and I want to give you this opportunity to explain what we're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. This is Debbie Arzala, who is also part of the committee to save the Tiger Tualatin pools. Essentially, the Tiger Tualatin School District owns two swimming pools that are located on the high school, both high school campuses. Those are the only public swimming pools in the entire district. And although they're located on the high school campuses, they serve the community more than 80% of the time. Budget cuts now, the high school can no longer afford to run those pools, and they will close them permanently by the end of the year unless we can find alternative funding. Our option is to create a special aquatics district that will exactly match the Tiger Tualatin School District boundaries. We did that because we simply did not have enough time, given the budget time frame, to be able to go out and do a boundary survey. So that's an existing legal boundary. As part of that, we are required to get resolutions from each of the affected cities. So we have those already from Tiger, Tualatin, Durham, and King City, which are the four cities that comprise the Tiger Tualatin School District. Much to our amazement, when we submitted paperwork to Washington County, we found out that there is a two-block area of the school district that is actually within the city of Portland limits.
To your amazement or disappointment? I have to tell you,
it was disappointment at first, and thanks to the incredibly responsive and helpful support from Mayor Adams' staff, from Commissioner Leonard, from your staff, and Commissioner Fritz from your staff as well, to react what is very, very quick for us. We are right now finishing up collecting 7,000 signatures. We've collected more than 5,000?
5,500.
In about 3 weeks. And we need about 7,000 signatures in about a week to turn into Washington County. So the timing on this was extraordinarily tight. So
thank
you so much. We think so.
Yeah, good.
It's, you know, back to school now. So we've been collecting a lot of signatures as parents get back from vacations and things.
Well, I appreciate you working on behalf of our entire community, which includes Tigard. And I'm happy to partner with you, as I know Mayor Adams is.
Thank you.
Discussions? Commissioner Fritz?
So there are 44 lots that are in the city of Portland and also in the Tigard School District. And what kind of notification has been done to those property owners?
There has not been any notification specifically out to anyone within the district other than what we've been able to accomplish through the website that's been up for several months. There was a school district newsletter that went out, and information about the aquatic district and the proposed tax levy was included in that. So any of those households that have school-aged children would have received that newsletter. There's also been a fair amount of news coverage from several of the television stations, the Oregonian, as well as the Tiger Tualatin Times and some of the local papers.
And what's the proposed taxation amount?
It would be 9 cents per thousand of assessed value. So Washington County gives us an estimated about $200,000 for an average home within Washington County. So we're looking at about $20 a year for an average home.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on 1277? It's a resolution. Thank you very much for taking the time to come here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Please call the roll on 1277.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams for your indulgence on having a short discussion. It may increase the property taxes for these 44 residents, so I wanted to make sure that it was clearly identified that we're making this as a conscious choice. I want to commend the citizens who are putting forward this. It's another example of parents and community members saying we need to do what it takes to get things done, even under Measure 5, 47, and 50. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you for your outstanding presentation, and I will support it because no portion of these monies will go to support either Tigard or Tualatin girls soccer teams. It may be competing against any of the PIL teams. And so on that basis, I'm happy to support this. Aye.
Adams.
I want to thank my staff for and Commissioner Leonard's office and his staff for their quick turnaround, and thanks for your partnership. Aye. 1277 is approved. Can you please read the title for the 9:30 time certain?
Annual presentation from Travel Portland.
Commissioner Dan Saltz.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It's my pleasure to represent the city on the board of Travel Portland and to host this Travel Portland's presentation today. I think, as you all know, tourism and travel drive are a significant, huge economic driver for our region. And this is no small part due to Travel Portland, formerly the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association. The work it does every day, day in and out, to promote our region is integral, I think, to our economy. So we have with us today Travel Portland Board President Jeff Miller, Travel Portland Board Chair, Steve Falstick, who will walk us through their annual presentation. But I'd also like to take a moment here to recognize any other board members who are present, as well as Travel Portland staff. Maybe you could all just stand and be recognized. Thank you. Thank you all for your efforts. We've been getting some incredible travel and destination press over the past year, and this, too, is due in large part to the great staff at Travel Portland and the energy that they bring to this job. And it's important to point out the critical juncture Travel Portland finds itself in as it attempts to continue its great tourism promotion with less resources due to the economic downturn. The vast majority of their funding comes from the motel hotel room tax, and as we know, that is down significantly. So I'll now turn it over to Jeff Miller and Steve to give us their presentation. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, commissioners, thank you for having us. It's always nice to update you on our last year's work and tell you what we've been up to and how we promote this great city. The economy has been a great challenge, but we are very optimistic for the future, and I think you'll see some plans in here that you'll be very excited about. The work done by this council and our other elected leaders really has positioned Portland as a very sustainable key destination. So as that work continues, I want to thank you for that hard work. It makes this city easier to sell.
Thanks, Jeff. And I'm Steve Falsick. I'm also the general manager of the DoubleTree Hotel and have been a Portlander for 10 years now. And I think you will see by our report and by our video that we've got a very engaged board that represents Travel Portland. We've also got a very committed staff. We've got a great product to sell here, and I think when we lead you through this presentation, you'll all agree with us. So with that, we'll roll our video.
Technical difficulty this morning. I will tell you that this destination video is something that hasn't been redone for a long time. And it's terrific. Now you'll see it. You like that?
Yeah.
Nice. I like this one. The second time. Yeah.
Well, and I will tell you that Mayor Adams pirated a copy of this while we were in Toronto.
It's
but
true.
We have legal copies for all of you, so you'll have your own.
And it was, if I could just intercede, every 3 years it's Portland's responsibility to lead a coalition with Milwaukee and
Pittsburgh.
We jointly market the three regions together, and so they were showing this video up on the screen at the reception with the video from the other two cities, and ours was so much cooler than that.
We thought
needless
so
to say, it's an early participant for the film of the summer for sure. This particular film that you saw is very valuable to the Travel Portland team. It'll be used in trade shows both nationally and internationally to try to get the message out of what we already know, that Portland is a great place to live and play. It's also a great place to hold meetings and conventions and for individual travel and tourism as well. It's a valuable tool that is used out in front, but even more valuable tool we're going to talk about later is our FAM or familiarization trip. Many of you have participated with those with us in the past, and we thank you for that and encourage future participation. But we really feel that once we get people to this wonderful destination to engage and experience what you've seen above, that that's where the true value is in being able to bring people and probably more importantly their money to the Portland region. I'll go actually right into the performance measure and talk about that money and what that looks like. Quarterly reports, by the way, have been provided for you to look in further detail, and we encourage any questions that you have. But Dean Runyon Associates reports that visitor spending in 2008 in the metro region was estimated at $3.8 billion. That's a B for billion. It supported 30,500 jobs with a payroll of $858 million.
How many jobs?
30,500.
And this is metro-wide?
It is. It generated $62 million in local taxes, and that's just the vehicle rental tax and the transient lodging tax. It additionally generated $80 million on a statewide level in gas tax, the 1% lodging tax, and miscellaneous other taxes. $589 million of this was spent in eating and drinking establishments. $552 million was spent on accommodations. $98 million was spent on cultural tourism, which includes museum, art exhibits, theater, science exhibits, and the zoo. What Travel Portland provides is a revenue engine for the city and for the region. And at a time, the economy's been tough on us, but the need for funding, as you see by the results that can be produced for this, is really phenomenal.
Some of the measures that we have in our city contract are convention sales and marketing. And as you can see, we hit the ROI goal of 47 by 48.8. This is taken by using the amount that we spend on marketing and dividing it into the economic impact of those meetings, which was $134 million last year. And this chart is a little busy, but it really speaks to what's going on in the economy, and I'll run through it quickly. If you look at the third column over rooms available, we have 10% more rooms available in the central city of Portland. Compared to this time last year, or to September of last year. If you look at occupancy rates, you can see what's been going on in the hotel market. The average daily rate is down percentage-wise also significantly. However, the beautiful news in this is if you look at the number of rooms sold, and that has nothing to do with the number of new rooms, but pure rooms sold this year to last year, you can see how the drop happened, especially in December and January. If you look at March, you'll see that we were almost flat to last year. We had March Madness, the NCAA. And if you look at July, and I know you thanked the Elks when they were here, we sold 8.4% more rooms in July this year against a very good July last year. The economy hadn't tanked. So you can see the value of those big conventions is pretty obvious when you look at this. It's a key driver. This also is a little busy, but it compares us to other cities. The far left column is this year, or is Portland Central City, and then the total Portland market, which includes a little of Clackamas and Washington counties. But you can see the occupancies last year to this year have dropped. But if you look at Seattle downtown, which would compare to Central City, we still remain at the same occupancy rates. And you begin to look at Pittsburgh and Denver, and we compare very, very well. So we certainly are no worse off, even with 10% more rooms on the market. That's not to say the business is good, but it's always good to know what's happening in competitive cities. You know, the key to this is that we booked 110,000 room nights, just Travel Portland, for OCC business. And when you look at the economic impact of just the OCC business that we booked, it was $65 million. We booked totally 245,000 room nights.
OCC is what?
The Oregon Convention Center. Sorry about that. With the total economic impact, again, of over $134 million. I will also tell you with those ROI goals, and this ROI is on Merck's amount of money, not the city's, but with those ROI goals at 47 to 1, we goal ourselves higher than any other city in the country. And a consultant tells us that the next closest goal is 15%.
So every dollar spent returns
47. Yeah.
And the actual is around 45, did I see?
Right, 48 for on the city's money, because when we separate that versus Merck. And we use those same goals with the Visitors Development Fund. One of the measurements requirements that we have to you is to count what our lost business is. And as you can see, the headquarters hotel issue remains the number one issue. But I do think it's important to look to the right-hand column and see what we did book. And this is calendar year. So in 2008, Travel Portland booked 426 meetings and conventions with 242,000 room nights. One of the things to look at on this chart is that we are booking more meetings but smaller meetings. And part of that has to do with hotel package, location, those sorts of things. So we are getting more meetings but smaller meetings. An interesting anomaly with the economy this year was that with the downturn, we were getting much larger hotel room blocks from the big hotels, where we might have gotten 200 or 300 room blocks a year ago. We are now getting 500 and 600 room blocks from that same hotel this year. So interestingly, we made our goal of 245,000 this year. We thought we would miss it, and we've goaled ourselves to the same number next year.
A big part of how we sell the city that we've evolved in the last several years has been our green or sustainable destination. And this has really been a gold mine that Travel Portland has done a great job on capitalizing. We tried to be the undisputed leader, and we think we are the undisputed leader. Now we're trying to remain the undisputed leader in green meetings. Part of what's been developed is what is called the Green Meetings Toolkit. And again, nationally, we are looked at as a destination as leaders and experts in this. So Travel Portland developed this toolkit where meeting planners, organizers, CEOs even can go to really better understand what green is and what it is and what is sustainability. We've gone with the mindset of green meetings are responsible meetings. So by the very nature of hosting your meeting in Portland, it's going to be green or sustainable. We've got a world-class convention center. You're seeing many new hotels open up that are LEED certified, that are Green Seal certified, existing hotels and destinations that have become Green Seal certified, Energy Star, Salmon Safe, that really are showing a true vested commitment to sustainability in this area. And we're seeing the pent-up demand out there for sustainability. And the economy has helped the awareness where glitz and glamour in travel is out and really responsible travel is in. And we are pleased to say that we've got that hot destination. It's now up to us to try to better market that and capture the attention that it is out there.
And here you can see Mayor Adams at the Three City Alliance dinner in Toronto. You know, the American Society of Association Executives trade show in Toronto this year is the largest trade show we do each year, ASAE. And it is where we get most of our business. And these association executives make their choice a lot of times based on these kinds of meetings. Pittsburgh and Milwaukee geographically are across the country, so our goal is to move those meetings across the country. We had over 110 people at the Hockey Hall of Fame. Mayor Adams did a great job of welcoming all of our guests and speaking to the other two cities, and they love that. Anytime you come to our FAMs, these meeting planners, it really makes a big impression to see you there. And I always have a Saturday morning date with Commissioner Fritz out at the Red Lion. She always does a great job. Convention services. You know, once we book a convention, the real work begins. And the convention services folks become the concierge or the contact for the meeting planner. Last year, we distributed over 177,000 promotional pieces and sent out over 2,500 leads to local businesses. We see our role is to ensure that economic impact happens when those meetings come to Portland. They may be looking for a venue for 20 or 2,000, florists to decorate the show stage, shopping, catering, entertainment. We do it all. You also see a great number of site visits. So when those meeting planners are thinking of Portland, if we can get them here, it's that aha moment. Usually the comment is, I had no idea. So those site, being able to pay for those site visits and bring that meeting planner out is key to us. By the time the meeting planner gets here, we have a very close relationship, which is why our service scores are so high. And when we talk about the impact on small businesses, Hub World Travel is a great example of that. The Elks ask us to provide them a list of local tour operators that could help their delegates see the city, the region, the state. So we gave them the list. They chose Hub World Travel. And during the week the Elks were here, they did over $30,000 in business in just those Elks taking tours of the city and the region. So you can see very easily that that's how we get to that $3.8 billion number, $30,000 at a time sometimes. Leisure programs. We also have a return on investment there. You can see it's 19.6 to 17, and which is typical on the leisure side. We rebranded the big deal to the Portland Perks, and we wanted the consumer to understand that it wasn't about a markdown. It was really about the extras that you get when you use the Portland Perks program. And one such extra, if you book a hotel through Portland Perks, is that you get free parking at the hotel, which is usually at least a $20 value, plus breakfast. So we really use this, and we've been able to use some of the cultural tourism money to include the ARPS groups in the discount book and the Perks book. So we really tried to stay focused on making sure that the entire experience is accessible. We also did a $75 gift card promotion during the low winter months, where if someone booked through Portland Perks, when they checked into the hotel, they got $75 to spend on anything they wanted in Portland. And that was a great partnership between our monies, the VDF monies, and the hotels that picked up on this program.
As part of being leaders in sustainable tourism, Jeff is leading a charge for us with an organization called Sustainable Tourism International to develop the global framework for sustainable tourism designations for urban areas. So this is a big deal for Portland and a great opportunity, but it's not only to help develop the criteria, but our goal is to be the first third-party certified urban sustainable destination. And we see the goal and the outreach out there for attracting sustainable businesses and visionaries and big thinkers around this. And again, it's Travel Portland's job to try to capitalize on the tourism opportunity that's out there as well. So it is urban sustainable destination. I encourage you to keep your eyes and ears open for that, for progress that we have.
We've already asked the city for some help there and staff time. It will be the biggest thing we do this year. The LGBT market. We did a brochure, Deborah Wakefield and her team, and they pulled together a group of citizens and came up with this idea led by Deborah and her team. And we have gotten amazing press on this. And it's because we used real Portlanders. We didn't try to do glitz and glamour. We know that we've got lots of great people here. You see Kendall Clausen from the Q Center, Lucy Brennan from Mint. And across the country, where this is being used as an example of the kinds of things that we should be how we should be marketing in that LGBT market. We also are convening a small multicultural group to help us with the multicultural brochure. We will also use them to augment the work that Roy J is doing for us on the meeting side. So you'll hear more about that soon. These are just a couple of publications. The Travel Portland magazine that we do each year, we print 185,000 of these. Anyone that requests information on Portland gets one of these. It not only is Portland, it's the region and actually has information on the state in it, because we know if we can get them to Portland, they want to see the rest of the state. You'll also notice the brochure on the left is in German and in English. We use those internationally, and it's been a great lure piece. We have over 600,000 visitors come through the Visitors Information Center in Pioneer Courthouse Square, and those are unique visitors, not TriMet or using the other facilities down there. Of those, of the ones that we counted, we had over 2,600 Canadians, 2,600 Germans, 1,500 people from the UK, and 1,300 from Japan. Interestingly, 18 from Turkey and 35 from Singapore. We've got 79 volunteers in the center that are Portlanders helping those visitors come in and see what we're doing. Last year, we launched GoSeePortland.com, and it's a social networking site where locals and visitors can give tips and reviews for the favorite places to go. It also allows visitors to create maps of their favorite things to do, like where to take kids on a rainy day or Dan Saltzman's favorite city walks. So it's a great piece of technology. We've also shared this technology with all of our partners so they can use it on their sites. Twitter. Who isn't Twittering? We know the mayor's Twittering. We've launched the first Twisitor Center, which is a virtual visitor center, and it's been one of the most amazing things ever. We have over 300 press hits from as far away as Australia and France. France's largest newspaper reported this. We have 1,100 followers right now. So when a visitor puts in the hashtag INPDX and asks a question about where should I go for dinner or where are the best food carts, not only will we give the official answer, but all of our followers can jump in and give them their suggestions. So it's a great way for people visiting Portland to get information without going to the web and searching and hear from real Portlanders, which we know they like to do. Cooperative marketing strategies are very, very important to us. We get some money back from the state to market the region, which we manage that contract. The cultural tourism money we use to help the arts group on the cultural tourism side. Like with PICA this last week, we've been there with them from the beginning. And now the Downtown Marketing Initiative, which has come into our fold. And we're very excited about that and how we leverage all of these resources to be as valuable as we possibly can be. The Downtown Marketing Initiative, our goal is to create a single voice to the consumer regionally, nationally, and internationally. Leverage those Go See Portland technologies, expand the Twitter strategy to include DMI, and then we share the ForkFly strategy and others. So we're just beginning that. And one of the things that you'll see, one of the major things is DMI just did, and I'll get you copies of this, an 80-page insert in the Tribune on the opening of the Green Line. And DMI was able to use some of their resources for downtown retailers to advertise in this and be a major presence as a part of this. We thought it, I think they initially thought it would be about 20 pages, and it ended up being 80. So that's the kind of power that Downtown Marketing Initiative can bring to the core and to those downtown retailers.
What is Shared ForkFly?
ForkFly is an application on your iPhone where you go and pull up different discounts, and the Downtown Marketing Initiative is paying for half of downtown retailers to go on. They come up with their own deals, but we'll pay 3 months of their membership. And ForkFly is also offering 50% on other retailers because they want to expand this. It's a new application. So get ForkFly on your phone and get the discounts. It's a really terrific piece of technology. And this is just an example of the downtownportland.org website using the Go See Portland technology, the mapping technology. So just an example of what that looks like.
A little broader look as well at the organization and the value of it. Of our nearly 800 members, 500 are here in Multnomah County, as you would expect. But also we have a broad representation regionally. Washington County with 65, Clackamas 45, other Oregon counties 123. And I think it's and there's even 40 out-of-state members as well. I think it speaks a lot to the value of the organization for not just marketing Portland, but Portland as a gateway, as a destination for tourists as well. Additionally, we want to take a look at the categories, and many assert that Travel Portland is really based around hotels and getting people into hotel rooms, but it really hotels represent a small portion of that. Restaurants, attractions, shopping, associations, catering, performing arts, entertainment providers, all are part of the profile, the makeup, if you will, of the membership, and again, the value of not only who's interested in that, but who is Travel Portland serving.
This year, this is a special focus for us this year, and we're doing a couple of things intentionally, much more intentionally, looking at our board. We're speaking to Kendall Clausen about joining our board and others. Ron Melton, our new Executive Vice President of Partnership and Administration, is working on with our membership group on creating a program to really focus and better engage minority participation, and we'll also use the Multicultural Task Force to help us with this year. We know that public relations is something that is very, very good for us. It's intentional. We get better payback. We couldn't buy the kind of coverage that we get in advertising. So this is an area where we've really tried to focus this year in particular.
One of the specific examples that Meeting West did a feature on Portland as a destination back in October of 2008. The value of that from a marketing standpoint was $25,000. And again, we've seen that we now have a destination that's newsworthy from a travel standpoint for sustainability, for its hipness for the cultural tourism piece of that, that people are not only receiving those press releases, but also interested in coming to Portland and writing about us, both on a national level. We've also received a lot of international press relative to our destination.
And during 2008-09, the communications and public relations team hosted 129 travel writers and editors for research tours. These things don't just happen on their own. The results of these efforts were $10.2 million in positive media coverage for Portland, and that's a 40-to-1 return on the investment for a writer-editor outreach. One of the largest coups this last year was Portland was featured in a 7-page article in Glamour Magazine France, the most widely read women's magazine in France. 7 pages. The advertising value of this had been $231,000, and the title of the article is Portland, Coolest City in the World.
Wow.
How about that? Wow. So throughout the year, the PR team works with journalists from over 14 countries. We've got international outreach that appeared in Germany, the United Kingdoms, the Netherlands, China, and Japan.
Again, part of that international media coverage, we were featured in Swishy, which, for those of you who don't know, is a women's travel magazine in Mexico. And an article of Where Every Day is Earth Day in Long Beach, California. And again, from a reputation standpoint, we can't put together a public relations presentation that can give a sincere, authentic story of who we are as a destination. And simply by being sustainable, by backing up, by meaning it, people are willing to and wanting to write about us.
These are the focuses for the media team this year: sustainable green, food and wine culinary, always a hit for us, LGBT, outdoor, and family travel. So you can see we've got our plan for the year. And as you know, we've got the Community Action Committee, which is a committee of the board that really works on transportation, development, redevelopment, public safety. And we know what's good for Portland is good for the visitors industry and vice versa, which is why we want to make sure that we stay at the table on issues like the CITLI ordinance, transportation, planning, all of those things, to make sure that the visitors industry is helpful and that we find solutions that make sense for Portland. And we're very interested in always being at that table and helping where we can.
A big part of our focus this year as well, and we have talked a lot about sustainability and what that means not only to the city but to us as individual businesses, and we certainly want to bring revenue and bring profits. At the same time, we want to do that in a way that's responsible to our environment and to the community. This year, we are focusing much more on the social piece relative to sustainability. One of the key factors that we're able to do that is through our Education and Training Foundation, which is supported through different donations. Our golf tournament funds go towards that. And our staff has been very active this year in reaching out to organizations like Outside In, Cascade Academy, Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, The Lynx, Chemeketa Community College, to be able to provide scholarships for individuals in high school or not in school at all who are able to get in and be invested in for our industry or other industries, but through funding from our fine folks. So we're trying to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, relative to being a responsible partner within the city.
And with that, we would take any questions you have.
Mayor, could I ask a couple questions? Please do. First, Jeff and your team, thanks for your superb work. And in particular, I had the pleasure of working with you on the Portland Jazz Festival. You stepped up and helped save it. So thank you for your leadership on that. I have two questions. The first has to do with the impact of the recession globally and nationally on travel and tourism. And I guess the question is, are we seeing a structural change in the way people spend their money as a result of the downturn in the economy or not?
I think that we certainly are seeing a change. People are being much more intentional with their travel dollar. This year we saw people traveling closer to home. However, our international travel, while off 11% at the airport, we still had a large number of travelers. So I think that in my mind, as I look to the future, we know that we've got some recovery to do, but ultimately Americans feel that they have a birthright to travel, and they do and they will. It's just a matter of how they will do it, and I think we'll continue to see that evolve somewhat, but ultimately I don't think there's a massive change coming.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, as I spoke a little earlier, Commissioner Fish, the real trend is people are still spending. They're wanting to be more responsible in how they spend. So the lavish Las Vegas trips that have been highlighted through the AIG effect, if you will, in some ways, have really played to our benefit in Portland, because we are, you know, the communication is out of a responsible destination. People resonate with that.
The other question, Jeff, I have is I couldn't help but notice in the video in particular, which is superb, which I guess we're all free to put on our websites,
yes,
too, right? That the pitch seems to be made to people who are somewhat younger than the five of us in terms of the vibe of Portland.
You like beer.
Speak for yourself.
The exception of our youthful mayor. But the it did seem to be focusing on sort of the younger end, and which is we're also seeing demographically a huge shift. I guess the question I had is, I've seen two presentations recently highlighting that we also have this opportunity to be one of the great destinations for older adults and an older-friendly city. So how do we market to that end of the spectrum as well as to the younger end?
I think there's a couple of things in there that I was excited about. Number one, the art galleries, which tends to skew a little older. Some of the coast recreation. So I think there's pieces in there. This video was very aspirational. It's really an attention getter. It's 3.5 minutes. You're generally going to see it at a client event or a trade show. So it's to spark the question, much like our business cards, which we have 8 different business cards. So as we speak to that more older generation, there are lots of things to do here, but they too, and after 25 years in retail, I know this, they always want to aspire to be, to feel younger, to do those kind of exciting things. So hopefully we spark that interest and get them to think about Portland first, then we can win them in the other different ways.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much.
Thank
do we
you.
Have anyone signed up to testify?
We didn't have a sign-up sheet for this.
Does anyone wish to testify that did not sign up? This is a presentation. There's no vote, but we'll have comments before we conclude. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, thank you for all your work. And this is something that happens very much behind the scenes for most Portlanders. We're not aware of it, and I certainly wasn't before I became a member of the City Council. And it is true that we get people here, and you do such a great job of showing them all of the varied opportunities both in Portland and in the region, and that people then come and spend their money here. And Mayor Adams makes his usual joke about there being no sales tax here in Oregon. So, and they pay, but they do pay hotel motel taxes.
And it always gets a laugh.
It does. It does. I'm very impressed. They pay hotel and motel taxes, which we then can use for other purposes, and it's very important to our economy. So thank you very much for this presentation, and thank you for all the work you do. And I will continue to be delighted to come and talk to any out-of-town visitors, because I don't need a script to talk about how great Portland is.
It's very powerful.
Well, I also want to thank Jeff and Steve and the board and the staff. I think you do a fantastic job. Steve, you've led the way in terms of showing what a hotel can be, how green a hotel can be with the DoubleTree. You've really been a trendsetter, but it's really nice to hear how being green and being sustainable has really become a marketing angle for us, for the travel tourism industry. I mean, it's also an angle in our economic development strategies as well. But I think this is something that's taken on back when you were POVA, and you've stuck with it and have really embellished our reputation substantially. So, I want to thank you and the staff and the board members. It's a pleasure to serve on the board.
Thank you.
And I just want to, I don't know, I've been involved with the visitor industry for a long time, and I just want to note that Travel Portland is known in the industry as one of the scrappiest, most creative, value-driven team, public-private partnership in the nation, and is looked to with admiration for those and other reasons. And you are not the best funded visitor and convention bureau organization, but you deliver amazing results. And what you're hearing is we're very grateful for that. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that gets us to a regular agenda, and we're going to hear, unless there are objections, we're going to hear vote only. Oh, we have a 10 o'clock time certain. That is going to be rescheduled until September 30th, a 2:45 time certain. Can you please read the title?
1267, amend Portland Transportation System Plan and Comprehensive Plan to update the Gateway Master Street Plan and Chapter 11 Master Street Plans.
Unless there are objections, so continued. I'd like to hear Council Calendar Item 1270. Can you please read the title?
Accept a grant in the amount of $100,000 for Safe Routes to School non-infrastructure education and encouragement projects.
Mine is go ahead and come forward. Linda, just speak a little bit about this. It'll be very quick. Yes, and then we'll go into your agenda items.
Okay. Very quickly, in June, the City Council approved the Bureau of Transportation getting a...
And who are you?
I'm Linda Genenthal with the Bureau of Transportation. And we came to you to get a grant for Safe Routes to School with ODOT, and you approved the application. This is we got the grant, and so this is an ordinance to accept that grant, and the actual document wasn't attached. So I'm asking for you to amend the ordinance to add Exhibit A.
I move to amend the ordinance to add Exhibit A.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to testify on the proposed amendment? Carly, can you please call the roll on the proposed amendment to Council Calendar Item 1270?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Does anyone wish to testify on the amended Council Calendar Item 1270? Carly, can you please call the roll on the amended Council Calendar Item 1270?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm actually glad this was pulled because it's $100,000 in a grant for Safe Routes to Schools, and that's a really good thing. There were actually a number of really great items on the consent agenda today, getting a lot of stimulus money and state money for good programs here in Portland. So good work to all involved. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, Linda, I want to thank you and your team for great work on Sunday Parkways and your continuing great work on the Safer Routes to Schools. Thank you. Aye. So approved. Unless there's objection, we will consider items 1284 and 1292. Can you please read the title for those council calendar items?
Sam?
Yep.
Dash 2, I should say. Well, I'm sorry, now I'm confused, because 1292 is the Wednesday time certain in the afternoon.
What did my staff have me do?
I think the memo said 1283, 1290, and 1291.
Thank you. So can you please read the titles for 1283, 1290, and 1291? Thank you.
1283, approve the 10-year tax exemption requested by Rujax One LLC for the Albert Mixed Use Apartments. And do you want to do the 4/5?
We'll do this first and then come back. So we're on 12. These are related. 1283 is approve the 10-year tax exemption. It's a second reading. And then 1290 is the transmit results of recent.
I'm sorry. You were Mayor. I apologize. You are right. 1290-1 and 1291-2. Are the 4/5. I apologize.
That's all right. So let me see if I can regain my composure. So 1283 you've read, and then what was the other one, Commissioner?
1291-1 and 1291-2.
Those are the 4/5, right?
Correct.
The dashes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's deal with 1283 first. You've read that, right?
Yes.
And this is a vote only, so please call the roll.